Welcome to the Follow Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:03 British Summer Time. Today is May 26th. Today was a generally firm tone on stock markets. The Nikkei in Japan was up about 1.5%. The ASX was up about 1 2/3%. The Shanghai A shares were relatively unchanged and still holding below this 3,000 level. And they really do need to get back above that area to suggest that demand is returning to dominance, at least in the short term. The Hang Seng was up about 2/3 of 1%, and it was a generally firm tone right across Asia. Korea was a bit of a standout. It's probably had one of the larger reactions over the last few weeks in the Asian region, and was a bit firmer in here today, as was the Indian market. It does need to do more in India, though, to suggest that demand is returning in the region of this 18,000 level for the Sensex. In Europe today, the majority of markets were down, most of them less than 1%, and the FTSE bucked the trend somewhat and was stronger by, well, very mildly. It was up 10. Into the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones finished out the day relatively unchanged. The S&P was up a tad, up 5, and the Nasdaq was up about 0.75%. Brazil is up about 1%. In the commodity markets, it was a bit of a mixed bag. The oil market was a little bit weaker. It was down a dollar on the West Texas and closing out the day at $100 even. The gold market was a little bit softer, down 4.57, but holding above this $1,500 area. Having had a very strong day yesterday, silver was quite volatile today, but closed well off its high on the day and was down 30 at 37.33. Copper, which pushed back above the $4 area earlier this week, is up a tad on the day, up just under 2 cents. The palladium market was also a little bit firmer, and platinum was a tad weaker. The US dollar was a little bit weaker in here today, particularly against the Australian dollar, where the Aussie dollar strengthened by a full cent. And the US dollar was relatively steady against the Canadian dollar. The pound was stronger by over a full cent as well. And the euro was also a little bit stronger against the US dollar. And the dollar has rallied well over the last couple of weeks, probably for most of the month. It's unwound the majority of its oversold condition against a large number of currencies. It's now at a point where if it's going to continue to rally in it will find support above its recent low, and if it fails to find support above that low, well, then we could be in for an extension of the downtrend. And the dollar has trended downwards for much of the last 6 months, and there's been an inverse correlation between the dollar's weakness and the appetite for risk assets. And what we've seen with commodities in the last few days is that a large number of commodities have found at least short-term support, and a number of those within the confines of relatively consistent medium-term uptrends, and they've found support in the region of their 200-day moving averages or in the region of the upper side of ranges from which they've broken out of in the last 6 months. So the commo any de excuse me, any deleveraging that has occurred has been focused primarily in the commodity markets, and that appears to be in the process of running its course. A number of these commodities appear to have moved into support building phases. Support building, by its nature, is volatile because it's where a war develops between supply and demand as demand attempts to get back into dominance, and it's characterized by volatility. We've definitely seen volatility in the silver market and in the oil markets, which both have had rather deep pullbacks. But it does look like that at least short-term support has been found. This could potentially be medium-term support. It will probably be a while longer before we can say that with any high degree of confidence, but in the meantime, provided the recent lows hold, the medium-term upside can be given the benefit of the doubt. The lumber market finished out the day limit up. That is another one of the commodities that has pulled back really very sharply over the last few months. It's pulled right back to test the medium-term progression of higher reaction lows and has bounced emphatically in the last 2 days. It's posting an upside key reversal for the week, provided this gain is held. And that does suggest that demand is beginning to return, at least in the short term and potentially even in the medium term. With commodities beginning to find support, we can look across at the stock markets, and stock markets remain within, haven't pulled back nearly as sharply as the commodity sector. And a number of stock markets have had relatively mild pullbacks, particularly in the USA and in Europe. If one looks at some of the better performing markets, such as the DAX in Germany, the moving average is a tad below 7,000, and the DAX had rallied emphatically 6 or 7 weeks ago off the. It pulled back sharply, found support in the region of the 200-day moving average, and then rallied very strongly, posted a new recovery high, then started to pull back again, and it was weaker today by 0.8%, and it appears to be in the process of pulling back and retesting that 200-day moving average. Before beginning the recording this evening, I was looking at Siemens. Siemens has been one of the more consistent medium-term uptrends. It accelerated lower in 2008, formed a type 2 base, had the big reaction against the prevailing downtrend, and has moved into a picture of consistency. And that consistency has been characterized by relatively similar ranges one above another, and it has found support in the region of the 200-day moving average on successive occasions. And Siemens is an interesting company because it's leveraged to global growth. It's leveraged to to technology, and it's leveraged to infrastructure in particular. And they announced in the last few years that they are going to take a more responsible attitude towards paying a consistent dividend. And what's interesting now is that it is right there at its 200-day moving average, and it bounced somewhat from that level in here today. So markets which are leveraged to global growth remain within consistent medium-term uptrends. And while the DAX isn't nearly as consistent as a share such as Siemens, it is one of the better performing indices because there are so many shares within the index that are leveraged to global growth. The Dow Jones is another one of those indices that has a lot of shares in it that is leveraged to global growth. And that also looks like an index that is in the process of a relatively gradual pullback and reversion towards the 200-day moving average. And that looks like that is the sort of the worst case scenario for some of those markets. When we look back at the commodities sector, the fact that you're starting to see some of these commodities finding support isn't any particular worry, but oil is holding really quite high levels, and that's a tax on consumption. I just filled up my tank. It cost me nearly 100 euros to fill my tank, and that's considerably more than it cost just a few months ago. And people, that's cutting into the majority of people's disposable income. And these higher fuel costs in particular and higher commodity costs are an inflationary pressure that is building. A further surge in oil prices would prove to be a headwind for the global economy, but the fact that they've already pushed higher is going to be a weight on GDP growth. And today was really quite a firm day for the government bond markets generally. US treasuries were stronger by almost a full point and almost up to 126. Gilts were extremely volatile on the day, but finished out relatively unchanged. But gilts were also considerably stronger. The Australian 10-year, the Canadian 10-year were both really quite firm. So we're seeing a large degree of commonality across the government bond sector that this short-term rally continues to have legs, and that's people pricing in that GDP growth is going to be a bit weaker in the next few quarters. The companies that are leveraged to the higher growth areas are likely to pull through somewhat better. And we're in an environment where we have inflationary pressures out there on the horizon, and the companies that are going to do best are the ones that have pricing power and that have a strong franchise, and they are exhibiting a large degree of relative strength. The defensive sector in particular has done well, but the defensive sector is probably more correctly or probably more accurately to describe the companies that have a global franchise and that are leveraged to global growth rather than simply calling them defensive, because defensive includes things like utilities, which don't generally have a great deal of leverage to global growth, whereas a number of companies, and Siemens is one for example, or Nestlé is another, where they have a stout global franchise, then one has the potential for capital appreciation as well as a relatively consistent dividend. And that sector is outperforming in the current environment. And the commonality that we see across a whole range of sectors that offer leverage to global growth, from commodities to consumers to healthcare to technology, is really quite stunning and is highly supportive of the bull market that has been generated from this greatest urbanization in history that's being led by the world's population centers, particularly China, but increasingly in India and much of Southeast Asia. In the case of the US dollar, we've seen that this pullback in the last month is still really intact. And whereas the US dollar has probably not got very much further to rally against strong currencies such as the Singapore dollar or the Australian dollar, it hasn't fallen nearly as much today against currencies such as the euro, and or indeed against the yen, which was actually stronger in here today. And that would suggest that the US dollar's rally can continue somewhat against weaker currencies, and it's unlikely to rally as much against comparatively firm currencies. And that's been a broadly similar pattern from what we've seen over the last year. Whereas the majority of Europe and North America is, well, the US in particular, is experiencing or has the potential to experience stagflation. We're seeing inflationary pressures beginning to mount in Asia in particular, and interest rate differentials have widened considerably. So it's becoming increasingly expensive to be short of higher yielding currencies, and that is limiting the extent to which that they are to which they're going to fall against zero yielding currencies such as the US dollar or indeed the yen. And I think with that I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.